From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? So glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. We have a fantastic show in store for you all. Can you feel the playoff fever? Yes, the Detroit Tigers take on Baltimore later on around 5:40-ish. I believe 5:41 is the first pitch to be set. Oh boy, can you feel the excitement in the air? Yes, Detroit Tigers, playoff baseball is live and in full effect. We'll talk about the O's series and give you our thoughts and predictions. We'll also continue our Barbershop Wednesday topic from yesterday's show entitled, Can Fandom Ever Go Too Far? The expectations that we place on athletic programs. We'll finish up that chat. Also, Cabrera turns down some moolah. And hey, I'll chat with my man Brooks Lambeer, MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on the show, here's Andrew Hayes with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Hayes, and these are your quick hit headliners for October 2nd, 2014. Junior defensive tackle Damon Knox will return to the MSU football lineup this week. The 6'5 lineman has been out since summer practice due to an undisclosed surgery. Michigan State defensive line coach Ron Burton said, quote, "He's shown some experience by being on the sideline and helping us out too. But having him back on the field gives us that extra guy to understand what we have to get done against Nebraska." Yesterday, MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis announced that significant upgrades to Munn Ice Arena are to begin immediately. Several of the upgrades will take place over the course of the upcoming season, serving as the opening phase of complete building renovation. Improvements will include theatrical lighting, new high-definition video boards, LED ribbon boards, chair back seating, new concourse decor, and dressing room decor. The Okemos girls golf team cruised to another CAAC Blue Conference title, defeating East Lansing by 32 strokes Tuesday afternoon at Royal Scott. This is their fourth consecutive conference title. All six of the Okemos players finished in the top 10 individually, with Sidney Williams leading the way with an 81. A USA Today readers poll has named Detroit the best sports city in America, citing the yearly IndyCar race at Belle Isle, as well as its passionate fans. Detroit beat out Chicago, Indianapolis, and Boston, which also made the top 10. The San Francisco Giants beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-0 last night. The Giants' Brandon Crawford hit a grand slam in the fourth inning, which was all starting pitcher Madison Bumgarner needed. Bumgarner threw a complete game shutout, allowing just 4 hits and striking out 10. The American League gets the divisional round started tonight, with the Kansas City Royals taking on the Angels and Detroit squaring off against the Orioles. Despite some uncertainty due to a pelvic ligament sprain, the Tigers announced this morning that outfielder Rajay Davis will be on the playoff roster. According to the USA Today, Miguel Cabrera refused to sign for his playoff bonus yesterday, saying that he, quote, "just wants the ring." Lions linebacker DeAndre Levy was named Defensive Player of the Month of September this morning. Levy earned Defensive Player of the Week for Week 1 and is the only player this season to record both a safety and an interception. The linebacker has also recorded 38 tackles, with 5 of them for loss, to go along with his pick and the safety. Police in Texas are investigating an allegation of sexual assault against Dallas Cowboys reserve defensive back C.J. Spillman. The report was filed September 20th, according to Sergeant Robert Eberling of the Grapevine Police Department. He also said no other information on the investigation or alleged incident will be released at this time. 16-year-old Tom Cutalena from Long Island, New York, passed away last night after suffering a major head injury during the third quarter of a football game. The contest was delayed 20 minutes as he was tended to by trainers and moved off the field. The game was suspended following the injury. This is the third death to occur on a high school football field this week. Earlier this week, both North Carolina linebacker Isaiah Langston and Alabama cornerback DeMario Harris died after collapsing on the field during warm-ups and in the second quarter, respectively. The Vikings take on the Packers tonight at Lambeau Field. as both teams try to improve to 3-2 on the year. Kickoff is scheduled for 8:25 p.m. Those are your current sports headliners for October 2nd. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open.
All right, well, you heard the man with the plan. Yes, our phone lines are now open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. If you want to call in and give your thoughts, predictions, and overall just analysis of anything that we talk about here on the show or anything that just happens to be on your heart. That's right, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read that on live on the air today. And even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Current Sports page, Twitter page, I should say, at WKAR_sports. And if you don't want to send us a tweet, at least follow us again at Al Martin, WKAR, or WKAR_sports, our two Twitter pages where we talk about all things sports and, more pertinent, all things current sports, okay? You don't want to miss any of that. But we have a fantastic show for you today. I'm excited about it. You know, we haven't had him on in quite some time. I believe the last time we actually had him on happened to be around the whole World Cup fiasco that took place this past summer with the U.S. of A. trying to, you know, make their World Cup dreams come true. Certainly a time that had everybody buzzing about soccer. That coupled with the success, the unheralded success of Lansing United in their first year as Lansing's minor league soccer program. So Brooks, I mean, he covers everything soccer. He is really now, you know, a busy, busy man, considering the fact that he is not only covering the men's soccer team for Michigan State, but also the women's as well. So Brooks will join me on our second segment of the show to give us a recap and to sort of analyze how the season has been going for both the MSU men and women on the grass. So we'll talk about Brooks and talk all things soccer. Again, if you have a question for Brooks that you'd like to fire out at him, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, folks, and we will take your calls and you'll get to chat with Brooks live on the air if you want to do that, okay? But in the meantime, we have so much to talk about, so little time. I now join the man behind the glass to today's current sports. How you doing, Alex Schar?
Doing well, Al. Yep, it's playoff time. Tigers finally get their chance to prove if they're for real or not.
Yeah, this is it. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is when the road to the World Series starts, and this is where you have to bring your A game. So in just a moment, we'll, of course, dive into that Tigers and O series and really break it down. I came across some interesting stats concerning both the Tigers and Baltimore that I found pretty interesting and would definitely be discussing. And how do you think the Tigers are going to do? You know, do you think they're going to win a World Series? Will they get past the Orioles and continue their playoff hopes? What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527. But before we get to that, Alex, I definitely want to sort of put a bow on our Barbershop Wednesday conversation that we had yesterday. It was one that certainly sparked up a lot of discussion. We got a few calls on it, and you know, those callers had some very valid and interesting takes on it as well. And our Barbershop Wednesday, of course, our segment, and for those of you who don't know, our Barbershop Wednesday segment focuses on a really hot button topic in sports that we debate about. You know, we call it Barbershop Wednesday because you know how the barbershop is. There's always a debate going on. And I love it. I love it because it's healthy conversation, folks. It's healthy conversation. So yesterday, you know, and of course, with this whole Michigan football situation that's taking place out in Ann Arbor with Brady Hoke and AD Dave Brandon on the hot seat and how they handled the whole Shane Moore situation, that coupled with the fact that, yeah, this Michigan football team isn't good. I call it like it is. They haven't been playing very well. They lost to Minnesota on Saturday. I mean, everything is just kind of coming into an eclipse right now where something needs to be done, if you will. So with that happening, and I also brought up the fact that I saw an interesting report, very, very well done report, might I also add, by HBO's Real Sports on just the pressures that coaches go through. And the expectations and how they try to deal with those expectations. It was a coach profile done on Ohio State's head coach, Urban Meyer. and it sort of highlighted Urban Meyer's career from, you know, when he was a baseball player back in the day to the expectations that his family placed on him to never quit anything and to succeed to when he first got his feet wet, I should say, in the world of coaching, winning, you know, national championships with Florida and now coming to Ohio State to sort of to try to bring them a national championship. And, you know, it was a lot of stress placed on Urban. He was going through a lot of health issues where he would have to take, just anxiety pills to deal with, you know, anxiety and just all of the pressures to deal with coaching. So, you know, as fans, though, because fans certainly bring on a lot of that pressure. I mean, everyone's a fan, really. If you're a fan of sports, I mean, I'm certain you have your team that you root for, you know, that favorite player that you root for, that program. And, you know, fans can sometimes, in my opinion, take it a little bit overboard. So, and we definitely brought that discussion to the show yesterday. Again, can fandom ever go too far? The expectations that we place on athletic programs. And, again, we had some great feedback from you all, but we didn't get to finish up the conversation. And just to put a bow on it, you know, Alex, it's really a really interesting dynamic because, for me, in my argument with this whole thing, when really looking at it and kind of breaking it down, first off, I think what a lot of people have to know and also have to keep in mind is that fans drive the business side of sports. Without fans, you don't have the extreme contracts that these players and coaches get paid on a yearly basis. Now, you know what I mean? Fans drive the moolah. They drive what's in coaches and players' wallets at the end of the day. And, you know, it's, you know, with all of the TV contracts and the player jerseys and the shoes and so on and so forth, fans are the ones consuming those products and putting that revenue in the hands of those that they consume them from. Now, that's the business side of this whole thing. So for me, I do have sympathy for the fan, seeing as though fan support, simple as that. Simple as that at the end of the day. And if you're giving your dollars to a program and paying the season tickets and so on and so forth, you definitely have a say or have some sort of say in what you expect from that athletic program. Am I wrong?
I totally agree, and that's kind of what I hit on yesterday, was that if it was someone that worked for the athletic department or someone that gets paid or any monetary value, it just puts it in a complete different situation. But now that these are fans giving that money to the team, they have all the right to be upset.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, if you expect your team to go to the World Series, to go to the NBA Finals, or to win the Super Bowl, hey, you have a right. If you are consuming, you know, that product and buying the jerseys and watching them on TV and supporting them, yeah, you definitely have a say. That is your opinion. You have a say in what you expect from that program. And not to mention, hey, I don't have any pity for a coach who makes millions and millions of dollars. Okay, first of all, it's a privilege to be a coach and a player because you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play a game at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So I don't have any sympathy in that regard. I will say this though, because there's times where people just take sports too serious. So many times, fans especially, sometimes just take it a little too far. And in many cases, way too far. It should never, in my opinion, it should never become personal. It should never become degrading. It should never become violent. And far too often, we see incidences where this type of craziness happens in sports. You know, just looking at, I decided to just Google earlier today, I guess you could say on Wikipedia, just a list of violent spectator incidents in the world of sports. Alex, if you have not been on Google and typed in that and went to that wiki page, I mean, there is a page longer than the day is on incidences of fans just taking it too far. I mean, deaths here and there. Just to read a few here, just some more recent ones here. For example, in 2013, April of 2013, last year, in Major League Soccer, FC Dallas defender George John was struck in the head by a bottle thrown by a fan of his own club immediately after scoring the winning goal in a home match against the Los Angeles Galaxy. That's one. June 18th, before an AFC qualifying match between South Korea and Iran in Seoul, the last game of the group for both teams, South Korean coach Choi Kang-hee pledged that he would, quote, defeat Iran no matter what. And segments of the feud and revenge start to come from South Korea, the South Korea national football team, saying that they would make life painful and make the captain of Iran cry, quote, tears of blood Are you kidding me? It turned so violent. One of the players made his way across the pitch to thank the Iranian fans, and he was pelted by, you know, rocks and whatnot, beer bottles. I mean, it's unbelievable. Not to mention, you know, the malice at the palace. I mean, that's a prime example for us locally.
Yeah. How can you not forget when Eagles fans threw snowballs at Santa Claus? I mean, come on. There's so many different instances.
So many. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Some which have resulted in death. Frankly, I mean, it's really sad stuff. So even though the fans should definitely, hey, I'm all about it. Hoorah, go for your team. Throw up the number one, the foam number one. Hey, do all of that. You are a consumer of the product. You pay your money. You pay for those seats. You pay for the jerseys. You pay that cable company to watch your favorite team play. But realize there is a fine line between making it personal, degrading, and violent. Don't cross that line. So I do see that area and that side of things as well. And frankly, you know, for that report, hitting on back of that report that was done by HBO's Real Sports, you know, and talking about Urban Meyer dealing with the anxiety and the pressure to succeed, basically. At the end of the day, though, I mean, again, my sympathy and pity only goes so far because as a coach, you know what you sign up for, right? You know, as a coach, you have certain expectations. You know what type of program you inherited. Brady Hoke, as coach of Michigan, he knows that he is inheriting the winningest college football program in all of the entire sport, period. There is a certain expectation that you have to meet each and every season. For Michigan, you are supposed to be competing for a national championship each and every year. If you are falling short of that goal, you are on the hot seat. Which Brady Oak is. So for coaches who come into those type of environments and talk about the anxiety that they deal with, D'Antonio having a heart attack after the Little Giants game, I mean, yes, it's certainly stressful, but you knew the amount of stress that you inherited once you took this job, period. Point blank, period. So my sympathy only goes so far, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is you look at media law and ethics and what the law says. If you're burning jerseys or burning pictures and you're doing it outside of just yelling at the game, outside of your amendment rights, you're going to get consequence for that. And we've seen that in a lot of the past outside of even sports. We've seen stuff burned on Capitol Hill of people's faces. So anytime you're taking it outside of the stadium or outside of the arena, it gets a little bit too far.
Yeah, anytime is violent, yeah.
Right. So
I agree. And what do you think of the whole, you know, another, this kind of hits on it as well. You know, Geno Smith, after he was defeated from, you know, by the Lions this past Sunday, a fan was heckling him saying, hey, you know, we want Vic. You basically are terrible. And, you know, Geno took, you know, offense to that and, you know, had some unkind words for that fan, so to speak. What was your take on that?
Man, I mean, we've seen that actually a little bit as well. I mean, with Allen Iverson, you saw it with Jonathan Dwyer when he was at Oregon as a running, or I think it was LeGarrette Blount when he was at Oregon. So, honestly, as a player, you got to ignore that, man. You can't
exactly.
Be mouthing
back. I agree. So, exactly, at the end of the day, fans do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit, you know, at Piston games back in the day, especially when I was in high school and would go regularly, I mean, yeah, I you know, I would heckle, you know, or try to heckle the player sometime. I remember I went to a Denver Nuggets and Pistons game, and that was actually during the time where Carmelo Anthony was still on the squad with the Nuggets. And I remember me and my stepdad, we're right behind the Denver Nugget bench. I mean, and we're trying to give it to Carmelo Anthony, like, you're terrible, you're going to miss shots, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is part of the fan experience. As a player, though, you know better, and you are taught to sort of ignore that, tune it out, you know? At the end of the day, you can't not respond to that type of backlash. So Geno was in the wrong, and I believe he issued an apology. But, yeah, I mean, fans, for me, I personally don't care. I don't – at the end of the day, in professional sports, I'm fine with the heckling. I think it goes a little too far, though. And this is when you start talking about ranks in sports. In high school, that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
In high school sports,
yeah,
it should be happening. Youth sports, it shouldn't be happening.
You're talking basketball? You're less than the 1% of the world that can play in actual NBA, ABA, or whatever? I mean, that's an honor. Look where you are and look where they are. They're sitting in their seats. And look at Al Martin there at the palace yelling at Carmelo Anthony. Al Martin's in his seat. So.
I can't do it anymore, but I know what you mean.
No, I mean, as much as, one, it shows that you're actually listening to the fans, but two, you can't control all the fans if they're swearing or not, regardless of what they're saying. If it's inappropriate, there's no way to contain that. You can't. There's so many fans there. The money talks. You don't know where it's coming from. You just got to ignore it. So.
Again, I'm fine with it on the pro level, even at the college level. But hey, You know, for the parent who yells at a high school game and is heckling, you know, referees and I've even seen some, you know, fans and parents sometimes heckle the players. It goes a little too far at that level. That's the youth level. Let's keep it clean, okay? But I definitely see that side of things as well. All right, well, that kind of wraps up. Very interesting takes on that. Again, folks, what do you think about fandom? You know, can it ever go too far? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's shift gears now and talk about what everybody in this state of Michigan, at least, is talking about and chatting about. The buzz is certainly in the air, considering the fact that the Tigers open up, yes, the 2014 playoff season this evening, actually, around 5:40 p.m. against the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, oh, boy, I can't wait for this. You know, right now, looking at this matchup between the O's and the Tigers, I'm just going to give my prediction, I guess, right off the bat. I personally believe that the Tigers will take it in five games. I think that the Tigers pitchers are going to really have to bring it. You know, but the run support for me, Alex, certainly has to be there. Baltimore has home field advantage in the series, but Detroit has a deeper lineup. Hopefully that lineup doesn't go silent. And, you know, really two starters who are better than any the Orioles can throw. Now, you know, and using Sanchez in the pen instead of in the rotation will, I think, delay the conclusion. But the Tigers, in my opinion, I think the Tigers take this one in five. What are your initial predictions on this series?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely home field matters. Look at what the pitcher is, Don Tillman from the Orioles. I mean, he has a 2.50 ERA just at home, and that's one of the top ones in the majors when you're at a home field. So home field advantage will definitely matter. I think the Tigers are going to drag this on to six, though. I think that two of these games at Baltimore, the home team will take one. Maybe that's against Verlander tomorrow, and then I think maybe that game five back, or maybe one of the games in Detroit, maybe they'll take one of those games. So I'm looking for six games, Al. But overall, I think it's going to be pretty close, man. As much as the Tigers are hot, they're rolling, you never know with that bullpen.
Well, you may have to take that prediction back, Alex, because you know it's a five-game series.
Oh, right. So maybe so they'll win one in Detroit.
Exactly. Gotcha. So you're going with Tigers, though.
Right, yeah, I'm going
Tigers.
Tigers in five.
I think the Tigers will squeak this series out. You know, it'll go to five, and then after this, you know, the Tigers. Who knows what happens with the Tigers? But I will say this though: if there's any chink in the armor for the Detroit Tigers, I will be honing in on, and may get a lot of fans frustrated. For me, it's got to be the Tigers' defense, in my opinion. I mean, Nick Castellanos. This is an alarming stat here: Nick Castellanos and Torii Hunter, those two alone rank among the four worst fielders in baseball. Now, those stats are according to two defensive stats keying in here on defensive runs saved and ultimate zone rating, which, if you have it, it's called UZR. There's so many stats in baseball, but UZR measures the fielding in different zones on the field. Nick Castellanos and Torii rank among the four worst fielders in baseball, and the Tigers' defense overall ranks among the MLB's worst. Now, you know, if you're looking at those, you know, defensive run save, just looking at those two stats in defensive run save and ultimate zone rating, both of those rank the Tigers third worst overall in the entire league. Now, last year, Detroit's pitching staff had baseball's highest strikeout rate, which reduced the damage and didn't make that aspect to their game that much alarming. But the Tigers' defense has certainly not been great. And going against an O's lineup. Now, this is the thing about the Baltimore Orioles lineup. The O's lineup is a lineup that is either really, really, really hot or really, really, really cold. Okay? When they get hot, folks, they get hot. I mean, home runs left and right, you know, singles, triples. I mean, they get hot. So, I for me, looking at this series game by game by game, the way the Orioles start the game is usually how they're going to finish it. So, but at the end of the day, again, when you're talking about a Tigers team who you got, you know, some of the best pitchers in the game, JV, of course, who, again, you have to put an asterisk, you know, next to JV right now because he has not been great this year. Certainly a roller coaster type of a year. But looking at Scherzer, then you go with Verlander, then you go with Price. Yeah. I mean, those three right there, that's one heck of a lineup to get through if you're the Baltimore Orioles.
See, yeah, and that's the thing is they're just that three-headed monster, and that's actually what some of the Orioles players were saying when they were interviewed today. But when it comes down to it, for me, it's more that the Orioles are without some of their best players. I mean, with Manny Machado going down, Davis out, Matt Wieters out, who actually had my fantasy baseball team at one point.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing with those injuries? That's another thing I was looking at. With those injuries, they've still been able to produce wins. How unbelievable is that for Baltimore?
It's been unbelievable. So that's why you got to give some credit to the O's and Buck Showalter, who probably undoubtedly will win the AL Manager of the Year.
Yeah, I can certainly see a case for him. But I tell you what, another aspect, a glaring aspect that, you know, bodes in favor of Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore's defense is one of the best. You look at the Tigers among the worst in the league. Baltimore's defense is among the best in the league. Baltimore's fielders actually rank fourth in the majors in defensive efficiency. So you're not going to see, you know, too many errors or blunders in that outfield, folks. So definitely look for that. Tigers are going to have to come out in this series very, very crisp. And, you know, it all comes down to the Tigers, that starting pitching. But if that starting pitching can get the run support that they need in this series, it's going to be a very entertaining one. Because looking at the two lineups, I mean, hey, Detroit's lineup, I mean, it's redonkulous right now. Looking at the projected ALDS lineup for the Tigers for later on today, I mean, you look at Kinsler probably, you know, at 1-2, Torrey Hunter, 3, Cabrera, Victor Martinez after him, J.D. Martinez after V-Mart, Nick Castellanos, Alex Avila, Andrew Romine, and Rajai Davis. Now, for the Baltimore Orioles, I mean, looking at their lineup, they have guys that can certainly make a lot of noise. You know, Nelson Cruz, Adam Jones, Steve Pearce even sometimes, and J.J. Hardy. But the later part of that lineup is something that's been known to sort of fizzle out as the year goes on. So, Detroit certainly has the lineup advantage in this series. They have the starting pitching advantage in this series. It all comes down to the little things. It all comes down to the little things in the playoff, folks. So I want to get your thoughts and predictions on this series. Alex and I are choosing Tigers in five. What are you taking? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Call in, give us your thoughts or predictions. We'll take it live here on the air. I thought this story was very, very cool. Andrew, as he just spoke so eloquently in our Quick Hit Headliners, he talked about Miguel Cabrera really putting his money where his mouth is. Now, you know, the Detroit Tigers first baseman, he opted against signing the paperwork necessary to make him eligible for his playoff bonus. Now, according to the USA Today, Cabrera was sitting at his locker when teammate Max Scherzer came around collecting signatures from the team to opt in for that playoff bonus. Cabrera told Scherzer, quote, "I'm not signing anything." Now, designated hitter Victor Martinez, who had just signed the paperwork, had a conversation with Miggy in Spanish. Cabrera maintained his position, concluding by saying, quote, "I just want the ring," end quote. Scherzer also had tried to talk to Miguel and say, "Hey, why you're not signing here? This is free moolah. What are you doing?" And he says, Cabrera, you know, he did not listen to him. And Scherzer went on to say, quote, "Okay, more for us." How great is that story? I mean, how great is that? I love it because it shows the type of person that Miguel Cabrera is, the type of mentality that he has as far as a winner goes. He's turning down moolah because he doesn't care about the moolah, to be frank with you. He wants to win a World Series, Alex. That's great.
Yeah, you gotta love that, Al. And I think it was a little bit misconstrued because it's just a report. We don't know ideally what happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure when Max Scherzer gave him the paper to sign, he probably didn't know what it was. You know, maybe he just, I mean, sure.
But they tried to talk to him. And according to a report done by USA Today, I mean, he tried to talk to him. Scherzer tried to talk to him. V-Mart tried to talk to him. He says, "Hey, man, I just want the ring," you know?
Right. But it's not like he's sitting down with General Manager Dombrowski and he's coming out to make a statement like this.
Yeah, but it's just a playoff bonus.
Sure.
You know,
which
could be a lot. Now, you know, a full share of the postseason bonus for players on last year, just to give you an example, on last year's World Series winning Boston Red Sox team was worth, get this, $307,000. Now, portions of the bonus are also allocated to support staff such as clubhouse attendance and so on and so forth. Now, Cabrera, I mean, hey, he's not really too conscious about money right now, okay? Miggy signed a 10-year contract worth nearly $292 million with the Tigers last offseason. So it's not like he needs that moolah, okay, at the end of the day. So I can see him turning down the money saying, "Hey, what do I need for this? I'm just trying to win a ring here." I can see this story definitely, you know, panning out and coming to fruition. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, chump change for Miggy.
Chump change. That's pocket money, baby. Give me a few dollars, Miggy. Come on, help a brother out. All right. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little football. Yes, some soccer. All right, we'll have Brooks Lambeer, MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports. Brooks will join me live in the studio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise.
Welcome back to Current Sports on this Thursday. Throwback Thursday is what we like to call it here on the show, as Alex is playing some throwback music there. We'll also have our Throwback Thursday segment here on the show where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. So you don't want to miss that. Also have to remind you all that, hey, folks, it's Pledge Week here at WKAR, okay? You know, I walked in and we have so many volunteers and outstanding radio personalities here at WKAR on the air talking to you and sort of, you know, giving you the spiel about how great we are here. You know, quality programming here at WKAR. We love your support. Current Sports would not be Current Sports if it wasn't for listeners like you, okay? Those who tune in each and every day. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I really thank all of you who tune in each and every day to make this show possible. I appreciate and love you all out there. And again, you know, when you listen to WKR, man, we try to do our job and definitely give you more than what you expect on a daily basis, okay? We certainly bring that type of atmosphere and attitude here to Current Sports, introducing you to new people, personalities, you know, in the world of sports. So, hey, if you want to continue that and want to support Current Sports, you can do so by calling in and giving us a donation. The number to call in and give us a donation is actually 517-353-5000. 517-353-5000. Call in, share a donation with us. We really appreciate your support on a daily basis, okay? Heartfelt love. Love is in the air right now, folks. I love you all, and thanks a lot for tuning in. All right, and also, Current Sports TV tapes tonight, okay? Current Sports TV tapes, airs tonight, I should say. We taped it last night, okay? And thanks a lot for those who came out for that episode. But you can catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV as I sit down with the owner and general manager of Lansing's only minor league football team, the Capital City Stealth. Yes, Robert Huntoon is the owner and GM of that squad. Robert sat down with me to talk all things Capital City Stealth and how the team got started, the support, and even a new home venue that they will be debuting next season. You also get to see my sit down with Magic Johnson, a sort of a recap of the MSU and Wyoming football game, all of that and so much more. Current Sports TV and guest Robert Huntoon of the Capital City Stealth tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. But in the meantime, let's get away from football and let's talk a little soccer, okay? He's certainly a friend of the show, MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports, Brooks Lambeer. Brooks, long time, my man. How you been?
Good, man. How about you?
Oh, I've been blessed. I cannot complain. Now, you have been certainly a busy man. The last time we talked, as I talked about earlier in the show, the last time we had you on was around the World Cup fiasco season, okay, where everybody was talking World Cup, and you did a great job of analyzing and giving us game previews on the brinks of each and every USA game, and we're thrilled to have you back in as you've been covering everything MSU men's and women's soccer. And to start with the men first, I mean, looking at this team right now, you know, they're just getting their feet wet in the Big Ten season, and, you know, coming off a season like last year where they make the Elite Eight, they turn a lot of heads nationally. I mean, are the expectations higher at all after the accomplishments that they had last season?
Yeah, well, certainly. Damon and the players have very high expectations for themselves. They want to get back to that Elite Eight or even to the national championship game. You know, this is Michigan State soccer, as Damon has told me many times. They have high expectations, and, you know, that's what sets them apart from other programs in the nation.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Now, they have started 1-0-1. I believe they had a tie not too long ago in Big Ten play. Are they the favorite right now in the Big Ten, or do you? Is there another team chomping at their heels right now?
Well, when I did my preseason podcast, we had the three M's. We had Michigan, Maryland, and Michigan State were some of the top drawer soccer guys really were favorited. But no one really gave any love to Penn State. And Penn State right now sits at the top of the table with 9 points. Michigan State's tied for second. But everyone is very much within, you know, a couple wins or ties, or anyone can jump each other right now currently. So it'll be interesting to see how this Big Ten season plays out.
Now, you know, I have a saying, Brooks, you know, I always believe that success breeds attention all the time. When you have the success of a team like this, last season, making the Elite Eight. I mean, you've been at the games. Has attendance boosted a little bit? Has there been a bigger buzz on this season so far for that team?
Yeah. Last game, actually, some of the Sons of Ransom joined the Red Cedar Rowdies for the men's game against Rutgers, which they tied, but it was a very exciting game. MSU had a lot of chances to score, just couldn't put one away. I would say there have been a lot of people coming to the men's and women's soccer games. I think with the World Cup and then the Lansing United with Jeremy Sampson, with what he started, has really kind of boosted the soccer buzz around the mid-Michigan area.
Certainly, without a doubt. Now, I know the Big Ten year is certainly in its infancy, to say the least, but what do you think is the biggest threat for Michigan State right now?
It's everyone in the Big Ten.
It's everyone right now.
There's not, and Damon will tell you this, and Kylie and Ben, Kylie Stannard and Ben Pierman, any of the coaches. It's everyone. This Saturday, Ohio State, Ohio State just knocked off a very good Louisville team. Their record doesn't show it, but everyone scratches and claws at each other, and then eventually someone wins the regular season. And then you have, like last year, like in Indiana, who the first ever losing season in their program history, they end up winning the Big Ten tournament and get a spot in the NCAA tournament. So anything can happen in Big Ten soccer and college soccer in general. And I mean, I guess if I had to pick the biggest threat, it was probably Maryland, which they've already defeated at Maryland, which is a very difficult environment to play in with about 8,000 fans at that game and a lot of them being students. So I would say Maryland was probably the biggest threat, but in reality, every team can beat anyone in this league.
Do you think this Michigan State team has the potential to be better than it was last year?
Yeah, I think they do. I think with the addition of Zach Carroll, who transferred in from the University of Virginia to replace a Kevin Cope. How do you replace a Kevin Cope that's an All-American and was a great leader for this team? I think Zach Carroll's done a wonderful job. I think Ryan Keener, who's a warrior in the defensive back line, has done a great job. Andrew Herr, a couple freshmen, Brad Santala and Jimmy Fisk, is stepping up to play left back where Ryan Thalen played last year. And Zach Bennett, Zach has tied the MSU all-time record for shutouts with 23.
Wow.
And it's funny, in 2012, he started his first game at Ohio State. He didn't get the shutout, but he got the win. But it's interesting, kind of ironic, that Saturday he has the chance to break the shutout record at Ohio State, in which he started his first game in. So,
oh man, that's like a storybook, eclipse right there, for that moment. That's unbelievable. And talking about Zach, I mean, again, he was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week this Monday following consecutive shutouts against Bowling Green and Rutgers. And as you just alluded to, I mean, again, he has tied the school record for career shutouts on Sunday, 23. He has a chance to break it, as you just talked about, Brooks. I mean, what makes Zach so special?
He's very athletic, and it's not just athleticism; it's his passion for wanting to always do better. And that's not just Zach on this team. That it starts with the defense, and Zach will tell you this himself. It starts with everyone on the team, everyone wanting to fight for each other in practice and in the game. And one thing I asked Zach Carroll, because Virginia, the men's soccer is a dominant program, has always been one in the college soccer. Mm-hmm. I asked him, what's the difference between Michigan State soccer and Virginia? He says Virginia, it's very, everyone's good, but everyone's kind of like keep to themselves and, whatever happens. Whereas, he said Michigan State, everyone on the bench is fighting for you and, everyone's fighting for a spot. It's a constant battle in practice every day. I've had the opportunity, Damon's allowed me to sit in on the practices, and it is. It's a battle. Guys
physical,
are pushing.
Pretty physical.
Yeah, it's physical, but it's challenging. I think challenging is a better word. Damon challenges the players to step up in practice and play well consistently in practice so they can get a spot to play in the game. And you have to earn your spot when you're playing for Damon. He's not just going to give it to you. You have to earn it in practice. And if you earn it in practice, you'll either start or you'll be a sub off the bench in the game. So
I love Damon's mentality, man. He is a no-nonsense guy, but he also likes to have fun with his job as well. I got to love that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on today's Current Sports, where I'm sitting down and chatting with Brooks Lambeer, who is the MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports. So give us a preview of Ohio State on Saturday evening. What type of team are they, and what are you expecting in that matchup, Brooks?
Ohio State has a very good goalkeeper in Alex Ivanov. There's one thing about Big Ten soccer, which you can say just across the board, which they're very good at, is everyone has a good goalkeeper. Whether it's Michigan State, whether it's Michigan with Adam Grinwis, Wolverton for Penn State, everyone across the line has a very good goalkeeper. Alex Ivanov faces a lot of shots, stops a lot of shots. Danny Jensen, a young sophomore forward for Ohio State, very good on the ball and goal scorer. It's going to be a battle, and they have a very good defenseman that just, I believe he's a freshman or he transferred in. I forgot what Damon had said in the press conference this week, but they are a tough team, and to go in and to beat a Louisville team like they did earlier this week is a big credit to them. And, you know, I got a chance to see Louisville last week, or not last season, when they came here for the NCAA tournament, and they are a very well-coached team. And Ken Lola is, very, like I said, very good at what he does.
Are they nationally ranked as well, Louisville?
They are. They are nationally ranked as well, Louisville. I forgot what they're ranked at, but they are in the top 25.
Right.
They're a very good program. So it's going to be difficult at Ohio State. And Michigan State in the past has not done particularly well against Ohio State. So, they have to go into Columbus and they have to play hard. And the guys understand what's at stake.
Yeah, certainly. All right, now on the contrary, I want to talk briefly about MSU women's soccer. Now, they have started off winless in the Big Ten. What's wrong with this team right now, Brooks?
I think it's a mentality thing, because all their games they've played, they've lost two in overtime. The first opening, they've lost to Wisconsin and Minnesota in overtime, and, at the beginning of the first overtime.
Right.
Then you go to Rutgers, and you lose in the 89th minute to probably a goal that Courtney Clem probably shouldn't have let in. And then you go to a good Maryland team who just beat this Iowa Hawkeye team. They play later tonight.
Yeah, at 4:30.
At 4:30 at home. And they get that, and then they come back to Ann Arbor, where I was at the game last weekend, and they go down 1-0 in the beginning of the second half, score a goal, and then 24 seconds left, they let another goal, which was a defensive blunder, which they probably should have kept the ball a little more. I think they have a very solid defensive line. The midfield could be a little stronger. They need to keep the ball more. They just don't want to play kick-and-run soccer. I think that's the wrong idea at the game, because they get tired and they want to clear the ball. I think that's part of it. But right now, it's really the mentality. Can you get over that? Can you dig deep to really pull through and get that final goal? And they need to score on their offensive chances, because they create a lot.
So you can only, hold, because sometimes when you look at records, I believe sometimes looking at records, it doesn't tell the complete story, even though right now in the conference, in the Big Ten Conference, they're 0-4-1. But, this team, talking to you and different players on the team, we had Courtney Clem actually earlier this week on the show. This team is better than what we're seeing right now, right?
Yes, they are. Oh, for sure. And just to talk about the play of some of them, they really put in their work, and Courtney from this year to last year has really improved. She looks a lot thinner, a little quicker, and just the overall play of the team looks a lot better than last year. And they have leadership this year. Last year, they didn't really have much leadership. The five seniors that are going to graduate this year really have pushed the leadership role and getting people to do extra work and to be leaders on the field. So
definitely. And before I let you go, Brooks, sometimes, looking at their record, they started off actually winning six of their first seven games. Sometimes, when you start conference play, it can be a bit shocking. Do you sense that at all? Was there a shock, starting Big Ten play for this team or not?
I think in the back of their minds, because they have not, the senior class has not done well in Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. They really haven't had a really good season since 2008, where they've won double digit games. I think it's just kind of in the back of your mind that it's here we go again. We want to start off well, and they have. They've not let up early goals. They've lost in the last couple minutes. Now it's just, can we get over that over the fence? Can we get ourselves over the fence and finish our chances and put the game away? Because in soccer, you have to finish your chances, because you may not get a better look, the second time around. So
That's certainly true. Well, again, MSU women's soccer, they play tonight, this evening, actually at 4:30 p.m. against Iowa. Then I believe this Sunday, October 5th, versus Nebraska. You'll be at both of those, right,
Brooks? Yeah, I will.
There you go. All right, Brooks, always a pleasure. Again, Brooks Lambeer of Impact Sports. He is the beat writer, soccer beat writer for the MSU men's and women's soccer team. Of course, also covers Lance United. Brooks, always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Looking forward to having you on again soon. All right, well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by bringing you Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this Thursday in sports history? And Carmelo Anthony says that, quote, "I'm the most underrated superstar," end quote. You'll hear our thoughts on that and so much more. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you want to weigh in on any of the discussion that we're talking about, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports, or go to Facebook.com/Current Sports to leave a comment on our Facebook page. So we have a few tweets here. We have one tweet here, at least, from TJ Singerlin. He wants to weigh in on the Tigers in the playoffs and also some other teams. He is picking, he says, quote, "I am picking Tigers versus Angels and Cardinals versus Nationals." Again, that's from TJ Singerlin. Thanks a lot for weighing in, TJ. Appreciate that. I agree. I think the Tigers will possibly end up matching up against the Angels. That'd be a big one. I don't know if they can get past the hump against the Angels because the Angels are pretty good. A lot of people picking the Angels actually to go to the World Series, so we'll see how that one pans out. But thanks a lot for weighing in. If you have a thought or prediction, again, 517-355-9527. Let's keep this train moving. And each and every Thursday, we dub Current Sports as Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. So let's take a look back. Let's tap into the Current Sports time machine and dwindle back the clock. Here it is, Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. Goal! And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it's Throwback Thursday here on this October 2nd. Alex, we're going to add that to our blooper reel. That was pretty funny. You know, things happen. You just go with the flow, baby. You just got to go with the flow.
We're really
sometimes
throwing back the air, aren't we?
I'm sitting like, oh, do we have it? Do we have it? Oh, that's radio. This is live radio, folks. This is what happens, okay? Okay, let's take a look at what happened on this Thursday, October 2nd, in the history of sports. And I'll start here going back in time to 1908. October 2nd, 1908, Addy Joss of the Cleveland Indians pitched the fourth perfect game in Major League Baseball history. Gotta love that, Addy. You were one of the very first ones to set the tone when it comes to the perfect game. Big accomplishment there, taking place on October 2nd, 1908. All right, October 2nd of 1920, the Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh Pirates played the only triple header in baseball history. How about that? The Reds won two of the three games. The only triple header in baseball history taking place on this October 2nd back in 1920. All right, 1947, the Fernandino Internacional Le Automobile formally established former Formula One racing in Grand Prix competition. So how about that? The Fernandino Internationale Le Automobile, the FIA is what it's called. They formally established Formula One racing in Grand Prix competition on this day in 1947. In 1948, sticking with the whole racing feel here, the first automobile race to use asphalt, cement, and dirt roads took place in Watkins Glen in New York. Now, it was the first road race in the U.S. following World War II. How about that? It took place in 1948 on this day. In 1996, Mark Furman was given 3 years probation and fined $200 after he pled no contest to pre-jury at the O.J. Simpson trial. No, how about that? It took place in 1996. How can you forget about the OJ trial? I mean, everybody. I barely remembered. I was, 6 years old when it took place. But at the same time, I remember the fiasco that took place. It was so big. I remember my grandfather, actually. You remember when you used to record on VHS tapes? You know, you can pop a tape in your VHS player and record whatever's on TV. My grandfather would record each and every day that the O.J. Simpson trial was aired on television. He still has those tapes to this day. They are in the top floor of my grandmother's house upstairs in a cabinet. The O.J. Simpson trial. How about that on VHS tapes? I bet you don't know about that. That's a throwback. VHS tapes are throwbacks, okay? Any more? Do we have any more, Alex?
Oh, we have plenty more, Al. This is a big day. And 1995, Detroit Tiger manager Sparky Anderson officially stepped down. So
wow, that's historic right there. How did I miss that one? Good stuff.
Yeah,
that.
And then another one, actually. It was ruled today that former Michigan Wolverine and New York Knicks head coach Isaiah Thomas sexually harassed former team executive Anucha Brown Sanders. Anucha, I think that's how you say it.
Huh.
The jury awarded her about $10 million for that harassment from Isaiah Thomas.
A lot of people forget about that case with Isaiah. Yeah.
And then lastly, two former Tigers, being that it's the playoffs, awards starting to come out, two former Tigers out won Comeback Players of the Year. Can you guess what Tigers those were back in 2007?
Comeback Players of the Year?
Comeback Players of the Year. Two former Tigers.
In 2007. There were two that were named.
There were two.
From the Tigers.
Former Tigers.
Well, former Tigers.
Now, when when they won the awards, they weren't on the Tigers team. We should ask that for the audience, the listeners. If any of the listeners know, if you call in, we'll announce it at the end of the show.
Well, that's a good plug. If you call in and you get it right, I actually have some passes to the state championship game for the Capital City Stealth. I have some passes upstairs. If you call in and you get it right, hey, you'll get those passes, okay? $2 off, I believe, is what those passes are for. So if you want to go out to Dansville and watch the Capital City Stealth in their state championship game, it's supposed to be insane in the membrane. I'm supposed to be doing the coin flip before the game. It's going to be an exciting time. If you want to go out to that, hey, call in and give us that answer. One more time, Alex, what's
the question? Again, the question, what two former Tigers... Now, when they won the awards, they weren't on the Tigers at this point in time.
Okay.
But what two former Tigers won Comeback Player of the Year in 2007? One from the AL, one from the NL.
Okay. All right. Well, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. You have 7 minutes to call, so get to that phone right now, 517-355-9527. To wrap up the show, let's just kind of chat about this one, Alex. This is an interesting story. The New York Knicks forward, Carmelo Anthony, says that he's the most underrated star player in the National Basketball Association. Carmelo went on to say, quote, "I think I'm the most underrated superstar that's out there, but that doesn't matter to me." You know, Anthony told ESPN's Chris Broussard this. Anthony laughed it off. Anthony was responding to a question about the possibility that he's underrated because he hasn't yet won an NBA title. He says, quote, "I know what I'm capable of doing. I know the grind and the hard work I put into this. I know how consistent I've been over my career to do it day in and day out and night in and night out on a very consistent basis, year in and year out. I know what I can do, and I know the work I've put in." What are your thoughts on this, Alex?
Man,
because for me, I think you have to sort of define the word superstar here. Now, for me, first off, do you think Melo's a superstar?
I think he is.
I think he is, too. Yeah. I will say, I was curious to get your thought, because I got into this debate yesterday with a couple of my friends, and they don't believe that Melo's a superstar. Mm. First off, I think Melo has one of the most dynamic scoring. He's one of the most dynamic scorers in the game today. I mean, there's nothing Melo can't do on the offensive end. Coupled with the fact that he's got some bulk to him. He can take it down in the post. He's very quick for his size out on the perimeter. He can shoot. He can take you off the dribble. He's got everything you want in a player, to be honest with you, except defense. Okay, and that's in a whole other story. Carmelo Anthony does not play defense. I want to be honest with you. None at all, okay? But overall, I think Melo is certainly a superstar. I mean, only a superstar can have this type of hoopla. Remember when Carmelo, on the brinks of this season, in the offseason, when it was, you know, speculation that, you know, Carmelo might be taking his talents elsewhere, that we rumored that, you know, maybe him and LeBron might link up in Miami and so on and so forth. I mean, just looking at the nonstop coverage
right
that Carmelo Anthony got on Fox, on ESPN, Heck, even a few times on this show, we talked about that, okay? A superstar, only a superstar, can garner that much of attention. So first off, yes, Carmelo Anthony is certainly a superstar. As far as him being underrated, no. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is underrated by any means. I think Carmelo Anthony is in a situation in New York where I don't fully believe that Melo has bought in to the type of system they have in New York. And I don't think New York, honestly, is sort of a mutually digressive type of situation there, because I don't think New York has done a great job of surrounding him with the type of players that he needs to succeed there as well. So I don't think Carmelo has bought into the system, one. And I don't think New York has done enough to help Melo out. So with that, coupled with those two things, you know, weighing in on each other, New York is just in a bad situation right now. Now, again, it's a clean slate. It's a new season. You know, hey, Spike has got a smile on his face. Spike Lee, you know, he's got a smile on his face. He's feeling pretty positive. This is a telling year for New York, and I think if they're going to make some championship headway, it has to be now, because I don't know how long I've been waiting for New York to get their stuff together and to go deep in the playoffs. Now, and even with, you know, especially with this whole Amari Stoudemire situation where he can't stay healthy, it's been a bad situation. So, but for Melo, I think Melo, maybe with him saying this, is sort of trying to create some type of motivation for him, for himself, because sometimes superstars do that, folks. Jordan used to do it all the time. Jordan used to read articles and sort of nitpick the article and say, hey, I remember when you said this about me, and sort of create a me against the world type of mentality to motivate him to go out there. Maybe this is one of those ploys. I don't know, Alex.
He definitely puts up superstar numbers. He definitely puts up superstar contracts.
But is he overrated?
No, I don't think he is either. I mean, that's the thing, is there's such a unclear definition to being overrated, or who's really defining that, and is it the fans that he's thinking is overrating him, or is it the players, or is it maybe getting an award in the league?
I think it comes down to that chip.
Wants that MVP award.
I think it all comes down to the championship for Melo. I mean, right now, I mean, he's seen, you know, a few of his good friends who came in the same year as he did, in LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. I mean, those guys have won championships.
Yeah, but LC, I don't even think it's a championship. Do you know what I think it is? It's just pure out winning. Regardless, Kevin Durant doesn't win the NBA Finals, he's still a winner at the end of the day. He still takes his team
Durant
to the playoffs.
But Durant doesn't feel that way. Durant wins that chip.
Sure, but for Carmelo, he's never been to the freaking playoffs, man. He's never gone far in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's never gone far. Exactly. He's never gone far. And I think, you know, I would feel a little salty if I saw, you know, some of my good friends and some of the players who came in the same class as me winning championships, and I'm sitting there watching it on TV every single year. Yeah, I would be a little salty, and I would say, hey, enough is enough. And I feel as though that's the way that Kevin Durant feels. I mean, KD has been a player who's always been compared to LeBron James as who's the best in the league. They have a sort of rivalry going on. So Kevin Durant came out and said it. I'm tired of being second. At some point, you get frustrated, and you get down in yourself, and you say, hey, it's time for me to pick myself up and start making some changes here. I think this may be one of those instances for Carmelo Anthony. All right, well, great show. Thanks a lot for Brooks Lambeer for coming in to the studio, MSU men's and women's soccer beat reporter for Impact Sports. Great insight there, Brooks. Appreciate your time. Also, thanks to all of you out there for listening to WKAR AM 870 here on Current Sports. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And as always, be easy, people.